the damage to self-interest and self-worth inflicted by Facebook today will haunt a generation. Feelings of inadequacy and insecurity, rejection, and self-hatred will impact this generation for years to come. Our children are the ones who are victims. Teens today, looking at themselves in the mirror, feel doubt and insecurity. Mark Zuckerberg ought to be looking at himself in the mirror today. And yet, rather than taking responsibility and showing leadership, Mr. Zuckerberg is going sailing. His new modus operandi, no apologies, no admission, no action, nothing to see here. Mark Zuckerberg, you need to come before this committee. You need to explain to Frances Haugen, to us, to the world, and to the parents of America what you were doing and why you did it.
That was Richard Blumenthal, Democratic senator from Connecticut. His opening statement during the Facebook whistleblower hearing held by a Senate Commerce Subcommittee on October 5th, 2021. During the hearing, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg was mentioned by name 18 times. He wasn't there, as Senator Blumenthal pointed out. The only witness was the Facebook whistleblower, Frances Haugen. But Mark Zuckerberg has testified to Congress before. And if you watched those hearings on C-SPAN, you might have heard Mark Zuckerberg apologize or admit mistakes, as Senator Blumenthal suggested he once did. In this episode of C-SPAN's The Weekly, we'll remember the times Mark Zuckerberg apologized or admitted errors to Congress. After this.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
After the Facebook whistleblower, Frances Haugen, testified to Congress, Mike Allen of Axios reported, Facebook says Zuckerberg has testified before Congress seven times in the past 4 years. Mark Zuckerberg's first appearance in a congressional hearing, seen on C-SPAN, was April 10, 2018. That day, he testified before two Senate committees at once, the Commerce Committee and the Judiciary Committee. The topic, Facebook's use of user data. The hearing came after revelations that the political consulting firm Cambridge Analytica improperly harvested data of up to 87 million Facebook users. Here's Mark Zuckerberg's opening statement. And right off the bat, he said he was sorry.
We face a number of important issues around privacy, safety, and democracy. And you will rightfully have some hard questions for me to answer. Before I talk about the steps we're taking to address them, I want to talk about how we got here. Facebook is an idealistic and optimistic company. For most of our existence, we focused on all of the good that connecting people can do. And as Facebook has grown, people everywhere have gotten a powerful new tool for staying connected to the people they love, for making their voices heard, and for building communities and businesses. Just recently, we've seen the Me Too movement and the March for Our Lives organized, at least in part, on Facebook. After Hurricane Harvey, people came together to raise more than $20 million for relief. And more than 70 million small businesses use Facebook to create jobs and grow. But it's clear now that we didn't do enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. And that goes for fake news, for foreign interference in elections, and hate speech, as well as developers and data privacy. We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility, and that was a big mistake. And it was my mistake, and I'm sorry. I started Facebook, I run it, and I'm responsible for what happens here. So now we have to go through all of our relationship with people and make sure that we're taking a broad enough view of our responsibility. It's not enough to just connect people. We have to make sure that those connections are positive. It's not enough to just give people a voice. We need to make sure that people aren't using it to harm other people or to spread misinformation. And it's not enough to just give people control over their information. We need to make sure that the developers they share it with protect their information too. Across the board, we have a responsibility to not just build tools, but to make sure that they're used for good.
That was Mark Zuckerberg testifying to the Senate. The next day, April 11th, 2018, he testified to the House, and he opened with the same apology.
But it's clear now that we didn't do enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. And that goes for fake news, foreign interference in elections, and hate speech, as well as developers and data privacy. We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility, and that was a big mistake. It was my mistake, and I'm sorry. I started Facebook, I run it, and at the end of the day, I'm responsible for what happens here.
Mark Zuckerberg was in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on November 17th, 2020, testifying virtually. He joined Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey in a hearing on regulating social media content. This time, no apologies. But in this exchange with Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat, Mark Zuckerberg does admit mistakes.
In August, a Facebook page for the Kenosha Guard militia, which advocated violence in the aftermath of the shooting of Jacob Blake, was reportedly flagged over 455 times to Facebook. However, the page was deemed non-violating and left up. More than 4,000 people responded to that event. Hundreds of armed militia members showed up. A member of this group, a teenager from Illinois, later shot and killed two people on the streets of Kenosha. Mr. Zuckerberg, you describe Facebook's handling of this militia page as an operational mistake. Can you explain the exact reason why the Kenosha militia page was not taken down?
Senator, yes. And what happened in Kenosha was obviously terrible. What happened here was we rolled out a strengthened policy around militia pages in general. Whereas before that, we would have allowed a group that was a militia, as long as it wasn't planning or organizing violence directly. In the lead up to the election, we strengthened the policy to disallow more of those groups because we were on high alert and we're treating this situation as very volatile around potential civil unrest around the election. We just put that policy into place. And for a number of reasons, it had not yet been fully rolled out, and all of the content reviewers across the company hadn't been fully trained on that. So we made mistakes in assessing whether that group should be taken down. But upon appeal, when it was escalated to a more senior level of content review folks who have more specific expertise in these areas, we recognized that it did violate the policy, and we took it down. It was a mistake. It was certainly an issue, and we're debriefing and figuring out how we can do better. Although one other piece that I would add is that person who carried out the shootings was not in any way connected to that page or linked to any of the content there from anything that we or others can tell.
On March 25th, 2021, another Mark Zuckerberg hearing and another admission that Facebook makes mistakes. The CEOs of Google, Twitter, and Facebook testified to Congress on their company's efforts to combat misinformation and disinformation on their platforms. Here's Mark Zuckerberg answering a question from a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. You'll hear him mention Section 230 reform. That refers to the section of the U.S. Code that provides immunity for websites regarding content posted by third parties.
Overall, you know, I mean, the reality is that any system is going to make mistakes. There's going to be content that we take down that we should have left up, and there's going to be content that we miss that we should have taken down that we didn't catch or that the system's made a mistake on. And at scale, unfortunately, you know, those mistakes can be a large number, even if it's a very small percent. But I think that's why when we're talking about things like Section 230,
reform. I think it is reasonable to expect large companies to have effective moderation systems, but not reasonable to expect that there are never any errors. But I think that transparency can help hold the companies accountable as to what accuracy and effectiveness they're achieving.
Mark Zuckerberg testified to the House Financial Services Committee on October 24th, 2019. The topic, Facebook's plan to create a cryptocurrency called Libra and its possible impact on the housing sector and financial services. But Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a Democrat from New York, engaged the Facebook founder in pointed questioning about fact-checking and disinformation. This time, no apologies from Mark Zuckerberg, no admission of error, no mention of mistakes, but this exchange about lying.
You announced recently that the official policy of Facebook now allows politicians to pay to spread disinformation in 2020 elections and in the future. So I just want to know how far I can push this in the next year. Under your policy, you know, using census data as well, could I pay to target predominantly black zip codes and advertise them the incorrect election date?
No, Congresswoman, you couldn't. We have, even for these policies around the newsworthiness of content that politicians say and the general principle that I believe that...
But you said you're not going to fact-check my ads.
We have, if anyone, including a politician, is saying things that can cause, that is calling for violence or could risk imminent physical harm or voter or census suppression, mm-hmm. when we roll out the census suppression policy, we will take that content down.
So you will... There is some threshold where you will fact-check political advertisements. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, Congresswoman, yes, for specific things like that, where there's imminent risk of harm.
Could I run ads targeting Republicans in primaries saying that they voted for the Green New Deal?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Would I be able to run advertisements on Facebook targeting Republicans in primaries saying that they voted for the Green New Deal? I mean, if you're not fact-checking political advertisements, I'm just trying to understand the bounds here. What's fair game?
Congresswoman, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I think
so probably, you don't know if I'll be able to do that.
I think probably.
Do you see a potential problem here with a complete lack of fact-checking on political advertisements?
Well, Congresswoman, I think lying is bad, and I think if you were to run an ad that had a lie, that would be bad.
By the way, don't think that Mark Zuckerberg only apologizes to American legislative bodies. On May 22, 2018, he appeared before the European Parliament in Brussels, Belgium. It was a month after his first time testifying to the U.S. Congress. The topic was similar, questions about data mining and Cambridge Analytica. Mark Zuckerberg's words might sound familiar, different venue, different continent, but same apology.
President Tajani, honorable members of the European Parliament, it's good to be back in Europe. Thank you for inviting me here today for this important discussion. Now, Europeans make up a large and incredibly important part of our global community, and many of the values that Europeans care about deeply are values that we share, from the importance of human rights and the need for community, to the love of technology and all the potential that it can bring. Now, we've always focused on all the good that technology and connecting people can bring. And as Facebook has grown, it has helped give people everywhere around the world new tools to stay connected to the people they care about most. After the recent terrorist attacks in Berlin and Paris, London, and here in Brussels, tens of thousands of people have used our safety check tool to tell the people they love that they're safe. Refugees arriving in Europe are using Facebook to stay in touch with their loved ones back home and find new communities here. There are 18 million small businesses here in Europe that use Facebook today, mostly for free, almost half of whom say that they have hired more people as a result of their use of our tools. But it's also become clear over the last couple of years that we haven't done enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm as well. And that goes for fake news, foreign interference in elections, and developers misusing people's information. We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility, and that was a mistake, and I'm sorry for it.
You can do your own searches for Mark Zuckerberg and other Facebook officials. testify in Congress, with or without apologies, using the C-SPAN video library. Just go to cspan.org and use the search bar on top. It's free, and you're welcome to spread the word on Facebook how easy it is. You won't be sorry. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of C-SPAN's The Weekly. Happy searching.